on the Basuj territory. Also in headlines, Yemen's Ansarullah movement says it will target all ships operated or owned by Israeli companies in retaliation for the regime's war on Gaza. Good to have you with us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the developments in Gaza blew the lid off the Western countries' support for racial discrimination. Ayatollah Khamenei says that Israel is the epitome of racial discrimination. He said that the regime considers itself the superior race. That's why it massacres thousands of children without any pang of conscience. Ayatollah Khamenei says that the support by the leaders of the U.S., Germany, France, and the U.K. for such a regime means they support racial discrimination, which is one of the most loathsome issues in the world. The leader added that what's happening in Gaza demonstrates the military and operational failure of Israel. Ayatollah Khamenei said that the regime has failed to achieve the stated aim of eliminating Hamas and the resistance despite more than 40 days of bombing campaign. He stressed that atrocious bombing of hospitals and women and children in Gaza proves that Israeli leaders are angered by their failure. Ayatollah Khamenei also called on Muslim countries to cut ties with Tel Aviv, at least for a limited period of time, over its genocide in Gaza. Now, the Israeli war on Gaza has entered its 44th day. There seems to be no end in sight to the painful tragedies there. One of the latest attacks has hit two schools, killing scores of people. The regime targeted the UN-run Al-Fakura school in Jabalia refugee camp and another one in northern Gaza. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman strongly condemned the attacks. Nasser Kanani urged the international community and Muslim countries to act against Israeli crimes. Tel Aviv has ordered Palestinians to move from north Gaza for so-called safety, but deadly air raids continue to hit central and southern areas, too. At least 80 Palestinians were killed in the regime's airstrikes on residential blocks south of the strip. According to the health ministry, death toll now standing at over 12,300. Women and children make up the majority of the victims. Cancer patients in Gaza are no exception to the Israeli regime's crippling restrictions on basic supplies and medicines. Let's take a listen to comments by two doctors and the father of a patient at Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital. They explain how the Israeli bans are impacting the patients.
The situation is not only tragic, it's more than tragic. Cancer patients are a fragile group. They need a lot of care from nurses and medical teams as well as psychological support, which we don't have now. As you all know, time is a really important factor for the life of the cancer patients. And if there was a delay in getting chemotherapy treatment, this will cause deterioration in the case. There were some cases we had to discharge and send to shelters. Unfortunately, four of these patients died because of the lack of medical care and because of the bad conditions there.
The situation is very, very, very bad in Gaza. It is a disaster situation. It is a call for the international community. Please come and save Gaza. Say something about Gaza. Do an action. You could be saying something very good. Yes, we are hearing you. Thanks to you. But really, we need you to come and take an action, to cease fire in Gaza, to stop killing of Gaza people, to stop killing of our patients, to stop killing our cancer patients.
My son has a cancer. He has a dangerous cancer. Today, he is bleeding from the rectus because the cancer mass is pushing against the muscle and the rectus, so he has been bleeding. He had an appointment to be treated in Nablus on the 8th of October, the second day of war. But unfortunately, the war started and he stayed in Gaza. Then the Turkish hospital was hit. There is no chemotherapy treatment or painkillers. I called on the Palestinian Authority, the health ministry, that I want painkillers.
The Hamas military wing says it's killed several Israeli forces in the Gaza Strip. The Al Ghassan Brigade says that its fighters targeted the forces with anti-personnel rockets in a village south of Gaza City. At least six of the regime troops were killed. The regime's army says it's lost 60 soldiers since launching a ground invasion in Gaza. Resistance groups say that Israel is concealing the real number of its casualties. Israeli forces have killed two more Palestinians in their latest acts of violence in the occupied West Bank. A young man identified as Omar Al-Laham was gunned down at Dahisha camp. Regime forces also killed another Palestinian at Aida camp north of the city of Bethlehem. Meanwhile, Israeli tanks and bulldozers stormed the Jenin refugee camp. The regime has intensified bloody attacks in the West Bank. More than 210 people have been killed by Israeli troops and settlers across the occupied land since October 7th, when the regime began its onslaught on Gaza. Now, Yemen's Ansarullah movement has warned that it will target all ships owned or operated by Israel in regional waters. Ansarullah spokesman Yahya Sariya said that all countries that have crew on such ships should remove their citizens. Ansarullah has also launched a volley of missiles and drones at Israeli-occupied territories over the past days. Amid the onslaught on Gaza Strip, resistance groups in the region have stepped up pressure on Israel. The area along Lebanon's southern border has witnessed exchanges of fire between Hezbollah and Israeli forces. Several Israeli settlements in northern occupied territories have been evacuated due to Hezbollah's attacks. Yusuf Mowry says that Yemen's Ansarullah movement seems to be targeting the Israeli economy.
The Ansarullah movement, they seem to be targeting the Israeli regime's economy because, you know, trading, the import and export is traded for the Israeli economy. It goes through Bab al-Mandab, which makes up 90% of the Israeli economy. So this is to put pressure, as you mentioned, on the Israeli regime to end its genocide in Palestine. But make no mistake about it, whenever the Ansarullah officials, military officials, whenever they send their warning, whenever they send their threats, they deliver on those threats 100% of the time. When the war started in Palestine, the leader of Yemen's revolution, he warned Israel that if they continue their onslaught on the Gaza Strip, then they will be targeted by Yemeni drones and Yemeni missiles. And he delivered on that promise. He delivered on those threats. And likewise, with Israeli shipments, Israeli cargo, any Israeli business transaction that seeks to travel or pass through Bab al-Mandab Strait, will be targeted by Yemen's Ansarullah movement. They've undergone the military preparations.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it's launched an attack on a U.S. base near the border in the eastern Syrian province of Homs. Iraqi resistance group says it targeted Al-Tanf base with a drone. And that after a local media reported a separate drone strike on another U.S. base in the village of Tel Bader in northeastern Syria on Friday. That attack injured at least one U.S. military personnel. U.S. bases in the region have come under repeated attacks since Tel Aviv began its onslaught on Gaza. Resistance groups in Iraq and Syria have claimed responsibility for most of the incidents. The U.S. has offered unconditional support for Tel Aviv and its bloodshed in Gaza. Meantime, more rallies have been held in Syria in condemnation of the Israeli aggression on Gaza and in support of Palestinians. We have more in this next report.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunis refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
The issue of Shifa Medical Complex has exposed Israel and the international community supporting it, including the United States of America. It has proven to the world that our hospitals are solely for patients and the wounded, and that the Zionist enemy only seeks to destroy them.
Two residents of the Khan Yunis refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirm that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledge to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause.
It is a great honor to be in a family that has a martyr for the cause of liberating Al-Aqsa, which is also the first martyr from Khan Zulnun camp. It is a very modest sacrifice for the sake of Palestine and the heroic people of Gaza.
We, the sons of the Islamic Jihad in Khan Zulnun camp, assure our people in Palestine that we stand firmly with them and with the resistance. Our hand is on the trigger until the end and to the last breath.
Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza, emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Camila Escalante in Toronto, Canada, has talked to people there about the Gaza war. They're critical of their government over what they see as inaction to help bring an end to the Gazans' sufferings.
Well, I'm devastated and I'm extremely enraged and horrified by the genocide happening in Gaza. I'm not surprised by the Canadian government's response. I know that they have stakes in trying to continue the illegal occupation of Palestine and that they are funding this genocidal campaign, and they have been for decades. So I'm not surprised, but it is disgusting to see, of course.
I'm mortified by what we've been witnessing over the past month. This is not a war. This is a slaughter. This is a genocidal offensive against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip in the first instance, but also in the West Bank, and ethnic cleansing on a massive scale. So I'm also angry with most of the Western governments and certainly the Canadian government for their silence or for their dithering, their obfuscation, their refusal to take a firm, principled stand in favor of international law and in favor of peace and to call for a ceasefire.
I think, as most people, I'm appalled and sickened by what is happening. It's just awful to watch the news, but I keep watching because I am so angry. And our government has taken a very bad position. It's following the United States, as it's done so many times. And that is not helping the people, the children, everybody in Palestine.
As Tel Aviv continues with its relentless bombardment of Gaza, the regime's also stepped up crackdown in the occupied West Bank. It's killed more than 200 people there and made hundreds of arrests. Harassment of Palestinians by Israeli settlers has also seen a sharp increase. It's feared that the regime is using the crisis in Gaza to also press ahead with its ethnic cleansing in the occupied West Bank.
As the world is watching a genocide unfolding in the Gaza Strip, another massacre is taking place against the Palestinian people in the occupied West Bank. Since the Israeli offensive began on the Gaza Strip on October 7, the violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank has also escalated. Israeli forces have killed dozens of Palestinians there. The Israelis have cut off Palestinian villages and cities from one another by closures and settler attacks. That has resulted in a near standstill of commercial activities of Palestinians and their movements. Furthermore, armed settlers backed by regime troops have blocked entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities through military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates. During the current offensive, the rate of violence practiced by settlers against Palestinians has escalated. That includes preventing them from accessing their lands, attacking them while picking olives, expelling them from their fields, and harassing Palestinians moving on roads.
We used to have problems with the settlers, but after the war in Gaza, they want to kill all of us.
After the war, the situation changed. They started attacking our houses. They didn't used to come to our houses. They started attacking them and the people inside them.
Preventing access to water and food needs, especially in the hurting communities, is done by Israel with the aim of displacing the Palestinian communities in those areas.
We have the same occupation and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
Just days ago, Jordan warned against Israel's plans to displace Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank to the Arab Kingdom, saying that Amman would consider the move, quote, a declaration of war. The warning refers to a decades-old plan dating back to before the creation of Israel in 1948. This transfer plan, originally formulated by Zionist militias operating in Palestine and then endorsed by the regime after its creation, calls for mass expulsion of Palestinians to Egypt's Sinai Desert. After Israel's occupation of the West Bank in 1967, the idea of pushing Palestinians towards Jordan became included in the transfer plan.
There's also been a sharp increase in settler violence and takeover of land across the West Bank. Since 7 October, nearly 1,000 Palestinians from at least 15 herding communities have been forced from their homes. In the context of the coercive environment they live in, the displacement of these communities may amount to the forcible transfer of a population, which is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention.
That's all for this newscast.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
Avik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 19th, 2023. I'm Atefer Fani hosting this program today. And dear listeners, I express my heartiest felicitations to you on a very auspicious occasion. Today, that is November 19th, corresponds to the 5th of the Islamic month of Jamadi al-Awwal, which is the birth anniversary of an Immaculate Lady, which in memory of her supreme service to nurse Islam and all humanitarian values back to life, is celebrated in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the day of the nurse, to honor their services to humanity of these paramedics. Yes, today is the birth anniversary of Hazrat Zainab, the granddaughter of Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program, of course. And as we always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Prasenjit Bhakat from India, from Roni Hussein from Bangladesh, and from Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Thank you for the reception reports, dear listeners. And of course, we've received emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Prasenjit Bhakat from India has sent us a piece of email from the Netherlands. Rob Den Boer, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Mukesh Kumar from India has sent us an email. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Bhatun Rudra. And from Germany, we have an email from Kurt Ettlinger, who is one of our regular listeners. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as I said, Prasenjit Bhakat from India has sent us a piece of email. Prasenjit says, my name is Prasenjit Bhakat from Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India. Please send your current printed schedules and some small gifts, including calendars, books, tourism materials, etc., to distribute in our club. Keep sending your newsletter. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Prasenjit Bhakat from India, and many thanks for writing to us. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en to find the frequency schedule. Prasenjit Bhakat, thank you very much for writing to us. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. From the Netherlands, we've received an email from Rob Den Boer, one of our old and regular listeners. Rob says, dear voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, I'm glad to confirm your broadcast today here in the city of Heinoord, the Netherlands. I heard your female announcer speaking about Islamic issues in English language, which I found it quite interesting. Please verify my report by your EQSL. Thank you so much. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Appreciations to you for this email. Of course, it's good to hear that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region, in Heinoord, the Netherlands. And thank you very much for letting us know the programs you were interested in. You said you heard the female announcer speaking about Islamic issues in English language. So an electronic QSL will be sent to you soon as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Welcome back. So let's see what Mukesh Kumar from India says. Dear sir or madam, greetings. I and my club are English radio enthusiasts. On behalf of all club members, I send our love to you via this email. God bless you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mukesh Kumar from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. You also, please send our warm greetings to your club members. Any opinion from you, our dear listeners, about our broadcast is welcomed by IRIB English Radio. So, in your upcoming emails and letters, please tell us which program or programs you like the best. Mukesh Kumar from India. We wish you all the best, of course, for you and your club members, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you, Mukesh Kumar from India. So let's see what Badhan Rudra from Bangladesh says. Hi, my radio friends. How are you? I am Badhan Rudra from Bangladesh. I love and we love radio because it is my friend and is the best media all over the world. Here I send respect to all radio workers and radio listeners. So, salam and warm greetings to you, Badhan Rudra from Bangladesh. Please accept our warmest gratitude to you for writing such a nice email to us at IRIB English Radio. It's good to have you with us as a new listener of IRIB English Radio. And we are, of course, very glad to hear that you were able to receive the signals of our radio in your region and in your Bangladesh. I don't know the exact place you live, but it's good to hear that you were successful in catching up the signals of IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for writing to us. Please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which program or programs you like the best. So, an EQSL, an electronic QSL, will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. Badhan Rudra from Bangladesh. Thank you. We wish you all the best. So let's see what Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, one of our regular listeners, says. He says, dear sir or madam, of the team of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. As a DXing fan, I scanned my radio dial and I found your frequency. I found your programs very interesting and full of information. So, I would be very grateful to you if you can send me QSL card for my reception report. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of Iran. And thank you very much for writing to us, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So you are a DXing fan, and that's nice. It's a good hobby. And so, as you were listening to IRIB English radio programs, you found them very interesting and full of information, and that's good. And I wish you could tell us which program or programs you had that you found them very interesting and full of information. Anyway, we're so glad to hear that. So, an electronic QSL or EQSL will soon be sent to you as a verification to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I do once again send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Prasenjit Bahakat from India, Ronnie Hussein from Bangladesh, Rob Denbor from the Netherlands, as well as Mukesh Kumar from India and Baton Rudra from Bangladesh and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran, and in the previous episode, we talked about how the Holy Quran sees human being as a being that naturally is in motion, and a being that is in a journey, and this journey is inevitable. But the choice between the destination, different destinations for this journey, is up to human being himself or herself. And we talked about how Quran designates the perfection or the best possible destination for this journey. And we said that for this best possible destination, Quran suggests that we need two things. One of them is the faith, the other is the righteous act or good deeds, al-amal al-salih. And we were talking about different aspects of the righteous deeds. We ended up talking about different origins of the righteous deed, how people are motivated to do righteous acts. Some of them are motivated because of the glory and beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we call them the free men. And there are some people who are motivated by paradise and the deal and the business that they make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they give something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life so that they can get something in return in the hereafter, and which is called the business or the deal of the businessman. And there are some people who do righteous act out of the fear of the hellfire and the consequences of the afterlife. So that is referred to as the deal or the situation of the slaves. And we said none of these three are incompatible. They are perfectly compatible. There are different levels of fear. Some people might fear the hellfire. Some people might fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the desire for the paradise could be compatible with the desire to reach the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, talking about different motivations for the righteous deed, we should also talk about the motivations and origins of vices or sins. What motivates people, what takes people to commit sins or not to follow the plan of perfection that Quran has designated for them. Now, according to the Holy Quran, there are different things that stop a human being from doing from going to the right path. One of them is al-hawa, which is the carnal desire of the soul. The other is shaitan or iblis, Satan. And also other things, heedlessness, forgetfulness. So we talk a little bit about some of these things that are in close contact to human being and the reality of life in this dunya. And we see how Quran deals and how Quran describes each of these elements that hinder and stop human being from reaching perfection. So the first one would be al-hawa. The word in Arabic, it's difficult to translate it into English. It can be translated into carnal desire of the soul, the desire of pleasure, that immediate and handy carnal desire that the soul has. And around 30 times in the Holy Quran, it has been repeated in different senses and in different situations. Now, in one clear example, Quran says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you not seen a person who has taken his own carnal desire as his Lord? This is a very important take on Hawa, that some people can start worshipping their carnal desire. You may ask how this worshipping takes place. We will have a break and we come back to discover more about how Quran explains worshipping carnal desire in its verses.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the concept of hawa, something that stops people from arriving at the perfection that Quran has designated for them. And we said that Quran says some people worship their hawa, their carnal desire. And أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ. Have you not seen a person who has taken his carnal desire as his Lord? إِلَهَهُ. إِلَهُ is something, some deity that you worship. And وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. And he has a bit of knowledge. It's not that he's completely ignorant. No, he has a bit of knowledge. But that bit of knowledge is not enough for guidance. It's only enough for misguidance. وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْئِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. So you may ask how a person starts worshipping. In another verse, we read that when you make the hawa, when a person makes hawa or the carnal desire of the soul, to be the standard factor for distinguishing between right and wrong. This verse is أَفَكُلَّمَا, addressing to some nations, previous nations, أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whenever you encountered, whenever an apostle, a messenger came to you with a message that did not fit your desire, فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا أَسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. You denied that messenger, that apostle. Why? Because it was not in accordance with your desire. So this is, when it comes, when hawa is on one side and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the other side, and a person is left to choose which side of this dilemma. If he goes with the direction of hawa or carnal desire of the soul, so Quran says this is kind of worshipping that desire. These people, when they received a message, when they had a prophet coming to them and warning against some bad deeds and anything, and they found the content of the message of that prophet to be contrary to the desire that they had. Because of that contradiction, They took the side with the desire. They denied that prophet. كذبتم. They said, no, you're a liar. وفريقاً تقتلون. Some of them they even killed. So this is worshipping. Unconditionally, you accept one side without even reflection, without any even deliberation on what the other side is saying, only because it is contrary to the desire. Not only that, some people, they follow the hawa, the carnal desires of others. This is even worse. So it's possible that I follow my own desire, but some people, they follow the desire of others. This verse clearly says, وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبُوا قِبْلَتَكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. And then the verse goes, وَلَئِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. So if you start following their desire, you start telling them whatever they like. So it's not that you follow your own desire even, you are actually following the desire of others. Because they like something, I should also do that. That is something even worse. In another verse, Quran says that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. Some of them even sacrifice their soul for the carnal desires of others. الطَّاغُوتِ, the tyrannical rulers or tyranny that these poor people, they sacrifice their soul for the sake of Taghut. And this is even worse. So Quran says, following hawa, carnal desire, either the carnal desire of the person, him or herself, or the carnal desire of other person, is one major hinder and obstacle in the way of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not to be some of those who worship their hawa. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, we continue the discussion in the following episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Protesters have been flooding the streets of American cities as the deadly Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip have claimed more lives, and there's been a growing civilian death toll in Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Russia's RIA Novosti news agency has covered this story and tells us more. A U.S. media report acknowledged ahead of the 2024 presidential election in the United States, voters in key states are increasingly weary of their country's involvement in foreign conflicts. Protesters have been flooding the streets of American cities as the deadly Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip have claimed more lives, with a growing civilian death toll in Gaza. With Israel pummeling the Gaza Strip with retaliation strikes in the wake of the surprise Hamas operation on 7th of October, Palestinian and anti-Zionist communities in the United States and college campuses have been engulfed by emotions and protested against Israeli crimes in the Gaza Strip. As U.S. President Joe Biden called on his nation to stand with Israel and with Ukraine in an address from the Oval Office, claiming that we're facing an inflection point in history. Joe Biden also pitched to Congress a $105 billion military aid package and referred to further assistance funneled to the Kiev regime as a so-called smart investment that would pay dividends for future generations. But a majority of the American people fail to see just how the well-being of their country ties in with the endless support being given to Ukraine and to Israel. The report said interviews with voters in key swing states have revealed the consternation they feel over the implications of widening conflicts both in West Asia and in Eastern Europe. Many reportedly unabashedly revealed that they are disgusted with the ongoing political process in their country and believe that domestic problems in the United States, such as inflation, hit closer to home. And that is what the Biden administration and whoever enters the White House after the 2024 election should be directing their efforts towards. The White House has asked Congress to allocate $105 billion in additional funding for the Ukraine war and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, for Taiwan and the crisis at the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Meanwhile, the United States has a national debt amounting to a whopping $33 trillion. Inflation remains high in the United States, and the U.S. president's much-touted Bidenomics appear to be steering his country into a recession. CNN cable news network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Voters in Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Arizona were described as having deliberately turned their television screens on mute while the 80-year-old Democratic President of the United States, Joe Biden, made the case for splurging taxpayers' hard-earned cash on aid abroad. According to data from Nielsen, in fact, some 20 million people took the time to watch President Biden's recent primetime address on major television networks. This is half the number that listened to former President Donald Trump's 2019 primetime address. When questioned about Biden's speech, given against the backdrop of a speakerless House, a narrowly dodged and still looming government shutdown, and economic woes plaguing the country, wondered why the commander-in-chief wasn't talking about the homeless problem or gang violence in the United States or trying to solve the opioid crisis in the U.S. One entrepreneur was cited as saying, "Why aren't people noticing what's going on around them? We're at war with ourselves." Other voters agreed that the president's appeal for mind-boggling supplementary military aid to Ukraine and Israel was going to be a hard sell. A voter was cited in the media report as saying, "We've got two wars going, everything's screwed up, and we've got to give money to Israel. We've got to give money to Ukraine. We've got to take care of the whole world." Other voters voiced the opinion that Biden's weakness as a president had fed into the war and chaos, and people don't fear us. Many were not at all optimistic about what the future held amid the turmoil in West Asia, coupled with America's internal problems, saying that it's going to get worse. Doug Bando, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and former special assistant to then-US President Ronald Reagan, wrote in a US media report, as recent policymaking regarding Ukraine and West Asia conflagration has shown, Washington's war party threatens military action should other states reject the US-constructed so-called rules-based order. He underscored, "Some members of this militaristic machine avidly campaign for war, the bigger the better," pointing out that such warmongers in Washington care little about the lives of others, at least if they're Africans, Arabs, and Asian. He emphasized how the American administration, like in the recent case with Biden's Oval Office address to the nation, positioned almost every fight abroad to be in the country's vital or existential interest. Doug Bando said, "Most of the cases are anything but. Ukraine's collapse would have minimal impact on America's security, Moscow has no reason for war with the United States. There are no territorial disputes between us. Doug Bando stressed in Washington, the credibility issue has become the kitchen sink argument for endless war. Doug Bando wrote, yes, the conflict might not be in America's interest. It might be consuming good lives after bad interventions. It might be wasting vast amounts of cash. It might have no apparent endpoint after months, years, or even decades of fighting. Bando added, stupid and unsustainable commitments that no longer serve its interests need to be abandoned by Washington, allowing it to serve its own people. Doug Bando added, young Americans' lives should not be sacrificed to pay for the war party's misdeeds. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be a verse.
وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
كتاب الله. Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And this hadith is about the lady Zainab salamullah alayha. Here at IRIB English Radio and Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners because, as you know, today marks the birthday of that noble lady, the Lady Zainab. And in this session of Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at some of the characteristics and features of that noble lady, as transmitted by her nephew, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has been narrated as having said that surely my aunt Zainab salamullah alayha was a knowledgeable lady, alimatun, who was not taught by any human being. غير متعلمة. Meaning she was a lady who had knowledge, who had been given knowledge, but that knowledge that she had received, she had not learned in any formal setting from any teacher or in any from any other human being. This implies that she had been given a God-given knowledge, a divine knowledge. She was inspired and this is one of the, characteristics of that noble lady. This is something which has been echoed in the Holy Quran. For example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, it has been mentioned that if you are pious and if you fear God, then God Almighty, He will directly... He will grant and impart a direct and intuitive form of knowledge to this person who fears God and who is pious. And of course, the noble lady Zainab, she had a very high level of piety and taqwa, and this led to this divine inspiration that she was given. And this is not something... It's important to note that these forms of higher forms of knowledge and inspiration, sometimes we believe and we think that and assume that they are limited to infallibles, such as the prophets and their successors, the a'imma, salamullah alayhim. But this is incorrect. In fact, if we look at the Holy Quran, we see that there are many people, the Quran mentions, who were not prophets, but they were inspired with a divine form of inspiration and knowledge. For example,